Welcome to Dead White Guys, Episode 3. Thanks for tuning in again to Dead White Guys. There's some exciting news this week. I finally got some feedback. Firstly, I received a comment on the blog from Daniel. He said he enjoyed the show. It's a good sign. And I also got an email from David from the Debate God podcast. That makes two pieces of feedback, which means I must have thousands of people who are too nervous to write, which must mean there must be, what, a quarter of a million listeners? So why the feed burner results don't suggest that, I'll never know. As you've possibly noticed, this podcast is out early. I'm thinking of trying to do more frequent casts so that I can tackle larger projects without them stretching out into infinity. I'm trying to decide what to read next. I've considered doing Justin Martyr's Dialogues with Trifo the Jew. The downside is that it's 150-odd chapters. They're short chapters, but there's still a lot of them. What do you guys out there listening think of this idea? Too long? Go for it? Please leave me feedback, deadwhiteguys.blogspot.com, or drop me an email, deadwhiteguys@gmail.com. If you can think of something else I should be reading first, or instead, let me know. I'm always keen to hear from those who are listening. This week brings us to the third part of St. Patrick's Confessions. To recap on last time, Patrick had a vision to carry the gospel back to Ireland, and to reach those who had once enslaved him with the gospel of Christ. He's ready to do this, but encounters opposition from those in his village. Now, on to today's reading. The Confessions of St. Patrick, Part 3. In the next part of our story, St. Patrick has a childhood confession that returns to haunt him. They brought up against me after 30 years an occurrence I had confessed before becoming a deacon. On account of the anxiety in my sorrowful mind, I laid before my close friend what I had perpetrated on that day. Nay, rather in an hour, in my boyhood, because I was not yet proof against sin. God knows I do not, whether I was 15 years old at the time, and I did not then believe in the living God, nor had I believed since my infancy, but I remained in death and unbelief until I was severely rebuked, and in truth I was humbled every day by hunger and nakedness. On the other hand, I did not proceed to Ireland of my own accord until I was almost giving up. But through this I was corrected by the Lord, and he prepared for me, so that today I could be what was once far from me, in order that I should have care of, or rather I should be concerned for, the salvation of others, when at that time, still, I was concerned only for myself. Therefore, on that day when I was rebuked, as I have just mentioned, I saw a vision in the night of a document before my face, without honour, and meanwhile, I heard a divine prophecy saying to me, "We have seen with displeasure the face of the Chosen One, divested of his good name." And he did not say, "You have seen with displeasure," but, "We have seen with displeasure," as if he included himself. He said then, "He who touches you touches the apple of my eye." For that reason, I gave thanks to him who strengthened me in all things, so that I should not be hindered in my settings out and also in my work, which I was taught by Christ my Lord. But more, from that state of affairs I felt within me no little courage, and vindicated my faith before God and man. Hence, therefore, I say boldly that my conscience is clear now and hereafter. God is my witness that I have not lied in these words to you. But rather, I am grieved for my very close friend, that because of him we deserve to hear such a prophecy, the one to whom I entrusted my soul. And I found out from a goodly number of brethren, before the case was made in my defence, in which I did not take part, nor was I in Britain, nor was it pleaded by me, that in my absence he would fight on my behalf. Besides, he told me himself, "See, the rank of bishop goes to you," of which I was not worthy. But how did it come to him, shortly afterwards, to disgrace me publicly in the presence of all, good and bad, because previously, gladly and of his own free will, he pardoned me, as did the Lord, who is greater than all? I have said enough, but all the same, I ought not to conceal God's gift, which he lavished on us in the land of my captivity, for then I sought him resolutely, and I found him there, and he preserved me from all evils, as I believe, through the indwelling of his Spirit, which works in me to this day. Again, boldly, but God knows, if this had been made known to me by man, I might perhaps have kept silent for the love of Christ. Thus I give untiring thanks to God, who kept me faithful in the day of my temptation, so that today I may confidently hand over my soul as a living sacrifice for Christ my Lord. Who am I, Lord, or rather, what is my calling, that you appeared to me in so great a divine quality, so that today, among the barbarians, I might constantly exalt and magnify your name in whatever place I should be, and not only in good fortune, but even in affliction, so that whatever befalls me, be it good or bad, I should accept it equally, and give thanks always to God, who revealed to me that I might trust in Him, implicitly and forever. And who will encourage me, so that ignorant, and in the last days, I may dare to undertake so devout and so wonderful a work, so that I might imitate one of those whom once long ago the Lord already preordained to be heralds of His gospel to witness to all the peoples to the ends of the earth. So as we are seeing, and so it is fulfilled, behold, we are witnesses, because the gospel has been preached as far as the places beyond which no man lives. But it is tedious to describe in detail all my labors one by one. I will tell briefly how most holy God frequently delivered me from slavery and from the 12 trials with which my soul was threatened, from man-traps as well, and from things I am not able to put into words. I would not cause offense to readers, but I have God as witness, who knew all things even before they happened, that though I was a poor ignorant waif, still He gave me abundant warnings through divine prophecy. Whence came to me this wisdom which was not my own? I, who neither knew the number of days, nor had knowledge of God. Whence came the so great and so helpful gift of knowing, or rather loving God, though I should lose homeland and family? And many gifts were offered to me with weeping and tears, and I offended them, the donors, and also went against the wishes of a good number of my elders. But guided by God, I neither agreed with them nor deferred to them, not by my own grace, but by God, who is victorious in me and withstands them all, so that I might come to the Irish people to preach the gospel and endure the insults from unbelievers, that I might hear scandal of my travels and endure man's persecutions to the extent of prison, so that I might give up my free birthright for the advantage of others. And if I should be worthy, I am ready to give even my life without hesitation, and most willingly for His name. And I choose to devote it to Him even unto death, if God grant it to me. I am greatly God's debtor, because He granted me so much grace, that through me many people would be reborn in God, and soon after confirmed, and that clergy would be ordained everywhere for them, the masses lately come to belief, whom the Lord drew in from the lands of the earth, just as He once promised through His prophets. To you shall the nations come from the ends of the earth, and shall say, Our fathers have inherited naught but lies, worthless things, in which there is no profit. And again, I have set you to be a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the utmost ends of the earth. And so I wish to wait then for His promise, which is never unfulfilled, just as it is promised in the gospel, Many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, just as we believe that believers will come from all over the world. So for that reason one should, in fact, fish well and diligently, just as the Lord foretells and teaches, saying, Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And again through the prophets, Behold, I am sending forth many fishers and hunters, says the Lord. So it behooves us to spread our nets, that a vast multitude and throng might be caught for God, and so there might be clergy everywhere who baptize and exhort a needy and desirous people. Just as the Lord says in the Gospel, admonishing and instructing, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, to the end of time. And again he says, Go forth into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. And again, The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached throughout the whole world as a witness to all nations, and then the end of the world will come. And likewise, the Lord foretells through the prophet, And it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And in Isaiah he says, Those who are not my people I will call my people, and those not beloved I will call my beloved. And in the very place where it is said to them, You are not my people, they will be called sons of the living God. Well, thanks for listening. That brings us to the end of St. Patrick's Confessions Part 3. The next podcast will wrap up St. Patrick's Confessions, and then we'll be on to something else. Again, any suggestions? Leave a comment at deadwhiteguys.blogspot.com or email deadwhiteguys@gmail.com. I love to get feedback, so please inundate me. I promise to answer every piece of correspondence personally. Till next time.